Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, hour number two. What's happening? Football Friday. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Network here. Teague's down to Tampa. I'm in New York. Our Quicken Loan studio, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans apply. Simply understand fully and mortgage confidently. And listen, some of the storylines, ripped through a bunch of them with Jason. Mm-hmm. Earlier, you know, whether it's and Tiki and I have a chance to expound on this as the show goes on. You know, since the Falcons played on Thursday and those extra couple of days kind of they fall off the radar because we react to what happened on Sunday, obviously, week one. Let's see what happens with those red zone deficiencies. The spotlight is now cranked up on Sarkisian. That's yep. A huge story. The Saints defense looked atrocious. That's a big story. The Jets and the Dolphins are very rarely 2-0. One of those two teams will be 2-0. But, Teague, I got to tell you, I outside of the Pats and the Jaguars, so just for pure theater, supremacy, big picture stuff, I think that your boys and the boys, the Giants and the Cowboys, is the most interesting matchup for a multitude of reasons this entire weekend.
Yeah, you know, that's always been a rivalry, BT, and it's all even if both these teams were supposed to stink this year, it's going to be an interesting game. I was actually flying this morning. I got up really early, 5 o'clock or 5:30. I boarded my plane, and it was full of both Giants fans heading to Dallas and, interestingly, Eagles fans heading down here in Tampa. So I was on a plane full of Eagles fans.
Surprised you got out alive.
Yeah, I know, right? But the conversations that I was having with a lot of these fans, actually, I think it's kind of a respect thing. They hate me, but they kind of respect me.
I got it. I've
and
seen that,
you know
that,
what the beauty is, BT? They hate my brother more. So as long as I'm not Rondé, who scored the last touchdown of the vet, I'm actually okay.
It's true.
But it led to, like, a lot of conversations about the division and, you know, where the Eagles are, the world champions. As reluctantly as I have to do this, I admit they're the world champions.
Oh, very, very noble of you, Tiki. Yeah, very exactly. Nice of you. Wow. What
you
a
know
huge
what I mean.
Admission.
They you won. Know what I mean? Of course they did. I respect them. I've told guys, it's about time, right?
It is about time. So, it's about time.
But it led to, obviously, a discussion about the Cowboys, because no matter who you are in the NFC East, you hate the Cowboys because they were America's team. You don't have to be in the NFC East to have hated the Cowboys growing up if they weren't your local team. And so you look at them, and you look at how they struggled. You looked at, as we talked about earlier in this week, they have one thing that we know they do extraordinarily well, run the ball. So then why did Zeke Elliott get 15 carries last week? And why did you dump it all on Dak Prescott, who, you know, going into his fourth year, you should be taking steps. It doesn't look like he's taking steps that are progressing. That it's, again, it's one game. And so you look at this coming up game, and game one better have been an anomaly. So to your point about this game being intriguing for a lot of different reasons, that's why. Because we want to see the Cowboys, you know, get back to running the football and making things easy for Dak, like it was when he was a rookie and took the world by storm, and everybody thinking he's the next coming of great quarterbacks in the National Football League. I think honestly, BT, people are questioning that now.
Yeah.
Right. And so you got to have a big day against a team that's a rival at home. They've always played poorly against the Giants at home. They can't afford to. On Sunday night.
Starting when Eli christened Jerry's World and signed his name on the wall when he threw for like 350, couple touchdowns, lit him up a couple years back when the new stadium opened. Hey, listen, what you just said, I mean, you're a player, but fans know that.
Yeah.
You're a former player. Fans know that. Current players know that. Listen to Landon Collins, who was very honest, and we certainly appreciate this. How do you stop Dallas? Here's the Giants superstar defender. Let me just, by the way, let me take back the usage of the word superstar. Star, who has fluctuated between superstar and star.
Yeah, he has some injury issues.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the kid. Yeah. But, I, you know, superstar, we're going to I reserve that, you know,
year over year dominance.
Competing
for the defensive player of the year like he was in his first year.
Two years back. Yeah. Three years back, actually.
Three years back.
McAdoo's first year. Yep. Exactly, when they won the 10 games. So that's what Landon Collins said. And we're going to play Dak's retort in a moment. And by the way, he didn't shy away from it, which is awesome. And as a Cowboys fan, you need to see Dak respond that way. If it was anything like, you know, trying to tiptoe around it, I would have been very concerned. That would bother me if I'm a Cowboys fan. But I'll tell you this in terms of a snapshot for the division. Eagles are good. We know that. Although, yep. To go back-to-back, there's a reason why it hasn't happened in, 15 years, something like that?
Yeah.
It's hard. And health and attrition and all those different storylines. It is what it is. NFL's very, it's not the Warriors
Guys leave. Vinny Curry leaves. You know, LeGarrette Blount leaves. Like, you lose integral pieces of your team. So it's not, just like with the Denver Broncos, right? They won a world championship. Guys leave. Yeah, Malik Jackson, who we talked to, right?
People rummage through your cupboards. They generally overpay for important pieces. You're right. So you're a little compromised. And let's face it, when you get old or when you age slightly in football, you know, in the NBA, you know, Andre Iguodala, I don't know why I'm pulling him. He's a good one, though.
He's a perfect example, actually.
He's not a kid.
No. Nope.
Won the MVP a couple years back in the finals. He can, not that he even have to really hide him, but there are older players in the NBA that you can kind of mask deficiencies and hide and incorporate with teams. In the NFL, you can't run or you lose a little something, you're exposed. So,
you're right.
I still think it's Philly's division. I think the Redskins are a really interesting team. Their O-line's pretty good. Their pass rush is pretty good. If Adrian Peterson has a throwback season between Jordan Reed, if he stays healthy, I know a lot of ifs, and Alex Smith, who's a winner, right now I would say the Redskins are the second best team in the division. But you focused on the Cowboys aspect. I want to focus on your Giants aspect for a moment, because you and I have fundamentally disagreed on this from day one. You know, everybody knows, I was allowed to, but take the quarterback at two. Tiki said, take the running back if he's there, Saquon. Okay. That's fine. We can argue about this until either Eli delivers or doesn't, till he retires, till we get more clarity on exactly who Saquon Barkley is. No doubt. We're not going to solve this today. But just as a premise, as a principle, I will say this. In taking Barkley at number two, what you're indirectly telling everybody is we expect to win now.
Yeah.
We're going to win now.
There's no doubt about it.
And we're going to squeeze out whatever remains of Eli's prime, and we're going for it. And if the Giants lose Sunday night and they're 0-2, and they're looking at the Texans in Houston in week 3, the Saints in week 4, at Carolina in week 5. I'm not going to bury them, but it could get dark fast for the Giants.
Well, BT, at the beginning of the season, I said this. You remember, I think it's going to be a rough road to hoe for them early on. But then they're going to figure it out. They're going to turn it around because they're such a work in progress. I keep saying the stat, 57% turnover. That's half your team plus that's brand new. Plus new defensive system, new offensive system, new special team system, new players in key positions, getting Odell back. But you're right, BT. I think they acknowledge we need to win, or we want to win right now. We're not rebuilding. You know, we're not looking for the future. We're looking for right now.
You're right over there?
Yeah. Knocking my mic around. Getting a little animated over here.
I wish that was on camera. They had a graphic of the Dallas. Oh, I wish I saw that. Damn it, I wish I saw that.
Yeah, right? But anyways, you know what I mean? It's like, win now. But here's the thing, VT. People ask me all the time, like, how long does Eli have? You didn't take Sam Darnold. How long does he have? I think it's 2 years. So if it's not going to happen now because of what you were just saying, like they lose this weekend and they lose to the Texans and then they have a tough game against the Saints. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Then at Panthers, Philly, and Atlanta.
Dude, think about that, right? And then all of a sudden, you have this expectation with Odell and Saquon, some stars, right? Yeah. But it's crammed into 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
That's
why I thought it was the wrong move.
That's hard. It's pressure.
That's one of the reasons. Yeah, it is.
But here's the thing, though. Hasn't Eli been great in those situations? And so it's weird. It's like a silver lining. It's like is it a glass half full or glass half empty type of situation with the New York Giants? And I believe that there will be quarterbacks available coming out of college. You've heard me talk about this off air, BT.
Yep. That Herbert, I think the Giants, from Oregon, you like. Yep.
Yep. And
the kid from Missouri is pretty good. Big arm,
Greer,
big kid.
Greer from West Virginia.
I don't like
good.
Greer for the. He's not a first. He's not a top 10 guy.
I'm not saying you take him top 10.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm not saying you take him in the first round.
Gotcha.
I'm saying you maybe getting him in second round. You steal him.
Gotcha.
He develops for a year, and then he becomes – he's learned. He's grown over the course of his – start in Florida, his departure from Florida for reasons we all know, and his maturity at West Virginia, where now he's done, what, 7 touchdowns and almost 800 yards in the first 2 weeks of the season. He just feels like he's mature and he's got it. And that's who the Giants like, right? They don't draft, I'm going to draft this young kid who's 21 years old, had a limited number of starts, or 20 years old, have a limited number of starts in college, and just hope. The Giants don't do that, right? And so I think that there's opportunity next year, if this year doesn't work out, for them to get a quarterback that can be the heir apparent to Eli Manning.
Listen, you explained that well, but that doesn't mean that they didn't make a colossal mistake passing on Darnold. And we're not going to get the answer today.
But the problem is, BT, we're making it relative to Sam Darnold. And it's like, I think they're not the same conversation. I know it is because
it's
New York.
Well, they have to be. They got drafted behind them.
I know, but it's not what they identified as their need.
But that doesn't mean that they're right. They could have misidentified or improperly read the draft is what I'm saying. Just because what they did, it tells us what their beliefs are. But that doesn't mean that their beliefs are right.
Well, I mean, we'll never know. Well, we won't know because they didn't take Sam Darnold. We won't know until we see the successes or failures of both these teams, really, because it's not about the individuals. Even though we're talking about the individuals, it's about these teams. Can Eli still lead this team? I think the answer is yes. They have such a work in progress with this O-line, BT, and you know it.
Yeah,
I know. It's been this way for years, and it's unfortunate that they haven't built, you know, from the core back. But they have great skill position players. Odell is unbelievable.
He's the best. He's the most talented guy in the NFL.
Saquon is going to be good. If he stays healthy, like we believe, he's going to be good. And the reason this is a conversation still after the draft is because Sam Darnold's the man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like game one, I got this, man. And that's enticing and exciting for New Yorkers that are rooting for the team in green.
Listen, Teak, they're forever linked. Now, this isn't a perfect comparison because one was always hurt and he underdelivered, but so I'm not saying it's going to be the whole Sam Bowie, Michael Jordan thing. I'm not saying that because I'm not saying, and actually Sam Bowie, even as a pro early, was actually a lot better than he's positioned. He wasn't a stiff. He just, his foot kept breaking and he was, and back then you had to draft big. So it's a totally different league. I get that. But I'm not saying that Saquon Barkley is destined to a Sam Bowie career as much as I defend Bowie. I think Saquon Barkley has a chance to be great. I'm not saying that. I mean, there's no doubt. And as much as I question the draft day philosophy or decision direction of the Giants, I actually think the Giants win this game. I think Dallas is in a world of hurt.
I do, too.
I think Dallas is.
I do, too.
They are hemorrhaging.
Yeah, they didn't look good in any way. Last weekend.
No.
They made some stops, and you know Cam Newton was hampered just a little bit, but they scored 8 points, man. And it was
eight points late.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
They had no solutions.
So we heard from Landon Collins, who said what we all think. Let's make Dak throw the football, see what happens. Eventually, like little rats scurrying about looking for a piece of cheese, the reporters took that, and what did they do? They went right to Dak's locker. Woo! Teague, I got to tell you, I don't know if he's going to back those words up, but that's the best in terms of being succinct, being direct, being confident, almost being dismissive. That's the best answer Dak Prescott could have given. It's phenomenal.
You're right. But it's just funny to listen.
Now you just got to get better.
As you described the reporters, Landon Collins said.
Hey, man, look what he said. Hey, guess what Landon Collins said about you? Guess what he said about you? Click, 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 click. Hey, Dak, did you hear what he said? Click, 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 click.
Oh, it's funny.
God.
But hey, yes, kudos to Dak for like saying, get off me, right?
Yeah.
I got this.
Get off these. That's what he said. That's what he said.
It is.
Both days. All right, T. Coming up, we will make a little U-turn here because we have to. Ohio State and TCU. Fort Worth going to be hopping this weekend. 13-point favorites for the Buckeyes? Forget about point spreads. They're going up against a sick defense without Urban Meyer. This is the litmus test we've been waiting for. Buckeyes, Horned Frogs, College, next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com for 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Football Friday, we'll do a little college here. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Inbounds, out of bounds, coming up next segment. Let's see, on the menu today, Michael Kendricks, a little something on Johnny Manziel, Mike Trout, baseball injury, and something about Markelle Fultz. So not all football. We like to keep it a little diverse, even though it's obviously a Football Friday. Teak is down in Tampa. And are you going to wear the helmet cam again this week?
I don't know if I'm getting the hat cam this week. I might need it, though, man. It's hot down here, bro. Like the sun will beat on my head if I'm standing on the sideline. As rough as it was last week with the rain and you get a little chilly after a while.
Yeah.
I hate the sun. I can't just stand in the sun for hours. So I hope we get some overcast, a little bit of an overcast day tomorrow.
I
should say Sunday.
I don't mind it if I'm on the golf course, certainly at the beach, whatever. I can't stand it when I'm on camera because look
exactly.
at these heads.
You can't help sweat.
Look at these heads. Just look at the camera if you're watching this on CBS Sports Network. One light, one dark, both shiny, both bald.
Exactly.
And when we sweat, there's no hair to absorb it.
No.
It just drips.
It starts coming down my face. And
I'm drinking it after a while. It's like salt. I can taste my own salt. I'm like, please, just throw a highlight so I can wipe my head. Just get me off camera for a minute.
I
feel your pain, so I hope that it's a little overcast for you as well. All right, Teak. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up next, as I said. Listen, when this went down with Urban Meyer, Ohio State, we said, all right, you lambasted Oregon State. You whacked them.
Which they did.
Which they did. All right, you crushed Rutgers. Rutgers is a joke. They did. Mm-hmm. Although they didn't cover for you in terms of the old run.
Just score a touchdown, Rutgers. Come on.
Bad pick, man. Rutgers is bad. You got to know that.
Yeah, but I mean, I thought at some point like Ohio State would just take their foot off the gas and then chill. Put in the fifth string guy.
I don't know. If Urban Meyer was coaching, maybe they would have gone for 80. You never know. But what our conversation was about specifically at that time, once we got past the seriousness and the nature of the indiscretions and what Ohio State decided to do, something you and I were both vehemently against. They were far too soft on Urban Meyer. If you missed, that's the summation of our take.
Agreed.
From a football point of view, you and I were like, okay, let's see TCU. Place is going to be popping. It's a night game, right? It's an 8 o'clock Eastern game.
Yep.
It's against a program, last 20 years, some real pedigree. Fans will be lathered up and a great defense. And you know what? This is the kind of game where they need it, where Urban Meyer, where his team needs him.
Yeah.
I think this is tight. How about you?
Well, I think it's tight because TCU presents an offense that Ohio State hasn't seen yet this year. The dual-purpose quarterback, their quarterback, Shane Robinson, does it all. First game of the season, which was a blowout of Southern. But still, he put up 5 touchdowns, 3 of them through the air and 2 of them on the ground. And in his second game, he was similar, had 154 yards, 1 touchdown rushing, 1 touchdown throwing, actually more like 230 or so yards all-purpose, but 1 touchdown rushing, 1 touchdown throwing. And that dual-purpose threat, even though it's kind of what Ohio State does themselves, they haven't seen on the field yet. So if they play good defense, meaning if TCU plays good defense and then puts pressure offensively on the Buckeyes, this game could be closer than I think people are expecting.
I would be very surprised if this is not – actually surprised / really disappointed – this isn't a 4-quarter game. I'd love to know how they would quantify Urban Meyer's presence. Like if Urban's coaching from a point spread point of view, instead of being 13, are they 14.5? Just curious. I will never know the answer to that, but I am curious. And here's the only problem for TCU. You know, you have to, and this happens, they're the inferior team, even though they're very good, and we know that, and they've been good for a while.
Yeah.
A lot of pros a lot of wins, bowl wins and all that stuff. If they're still the underdog, and you need to give that stadium a reason to breathe fire for a few hours. If the Buckeyes come out and they go up 14-3, I know this is pretty basic stuff, but it's really paramount in this game because you have to force Ohio State to play uncomfortably, and you have to establish that uncomfortable tone right away.
Yeah.
And I think that
especially because they're on the road, they're home.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no doubt.
You got to give their fans like the biggest disservice that any team that's a big underdog, right? They can do, whether it's hoops, if you're down 27-10, timeout. All right, it's kind of quiet in here. Or if it's game one of the NLCS and the home pitcher gives up a five spot in the first inning, you can hear a pin drop.
Yeah.
But the emotion of football is paramount, and they need it. To win this game, they need to play close to a perfect game.
Yeah.
To compete in this game, they need to play a really good game. And I think they will, the Horned Frogs.
Well, to your point, BT, you remember back in 95 when we beat Florida State, so much of our advantage came from our crowd. In college football, you really feel that. In the NFL and professional sports, it's a little bit different. It's benign, even though sometimes it does get raucous in some of these stadiums. But in college, it really has an impact when the stadium feels like it's rocking and the opposing team.
Why is it different, though?
Well, I think it's just more intense, right? It just means more, right? Your alma mater means more than a professional team that you feel like you're paying for, like you're paying to be a part of a professional sport. Fan base, but as a alumni or a student at a university, it's like in your blood, in a sense.
All
and
right.
So I can still remember this on that Thursday night. We walked into that stadium like hours before the game. It was packed, right? It was awesome, and you need that when you're playing a team. Florida State was number one at the time in the country. Ohio State is not number one, but they're number four are currently in the AP poll, which is not indicative of what's going to happen with the college football playoff, but you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
They're a high-ranking team, and you say it, and it's a cliche, and it sounds like, it doesn't matter. It's got to work itself out on the football field. The crowd in college football makes a difference.
Yep.
And if you get a high-ranked team like Ohio State coming into your house, TCU, the fans better be up for it, even if it starts bad early, right? Even if something, 60-yard touchdown early on, they still have to keep themselves lifting the guys on the field because you feel it.
As
a player, you feel that, man, and it's awesome.
Oh, 7-0, they'll certainly be resilient enough. If it becomes like 21-6.
Yeah, in the first quarter or something like that. Yeah.
Instead of punctuating drives with touchdowns, TCU's kicking field goals, Buckeyes are scoring touchdowns.
Yeah.
You'll feel that.
Yeah.
That absence of energy. You will feel it literally leave the stadium.
I know.
You feel it.
But you'll also feel it if they have it. Like if TCU.
Oh, yeah.
There's an energy. And the question then becomes, can you sustain it? Right? Because if you're not used to playing in games like this. And TCU is. They've been ranked in the top 15 for the last couple of years. So they've played in big-time games. You talked about the bowl victories. And
three of the last 4 years, they've won bowls, and they've had 11 wins twice and 12 wins once.
You're right. There was 1 year.
They know how to win.
Like a couple years ago, they were right on the edge of the playoff conversation as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been there, right? They know how to do this. But in order to win this game, it's got to be more than just the guys on the field, right? It's got to be the crowd. Otherwise, Ohio State comes in, they take that energy and use it themselves, that negative energy, that sinking out of the emotion, and use it for themselves.
What was the date, maybe not to the day, but what was the month again? Why am I forgetting this?
November.
All right, so
it was late. It was rainy.
Mm-hmm.
It was not cold, but like a little bit chill. It was damp. It was like this. It was a perfect day for an upset, man.
So it was. It was November of 95.
95. Yep.
All right. So November of 95, fall baseball practice was over for us. So we had about a month where we could chill before we had to lift weights and really start the season.
Yeah.
And I told you what I was doing that night.
Yeah.
Well, I was sitting there with a 40 watching you.
Of course.
I may have been three deep that night, too. Maybe a little MD 2020 back in the college
days. You were going
days.
Straight Brooklyn on that one.
Straight Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Straight Brooklyn.
Now the question is, did you have any prop bets like you did?
No, I never gave out in the
Super Bowl.
Teague, hand to the Bible, I never once laid a bet in college.
Really?
No, I never messed around with that.
Oh, smart. That's smart, because you don't have the money to do it.
I didn't have the money. I was too wrapped up in ball. And like some guys, they actually, I don't want to say they ran a shop out of their dorm room. It wasn't quite that elaborate, but there were guys, just like if you wanted to get your drugs, your steroids, your weed, whatever, ecstasy, I guess at that point it was just starting to hit. I mean, big, ridiculous stuff. Guys were taking bets. I always looked at the point spreads, but I felt like it was unethical as a college athlete. I just never once laid a bet.
Yeah,
and then I moved to Vegas, and then that changed.
Yeah. And you got, and you got corrupted.
I got sucked in.
You got corrupted, smart, and you earned your nickname, Sharp.
Yeah, but I'm smart about it. You know that.
Of course.
Too many 529s to contribute to each month. You know what I mean? Let's ask Ack. Let's have a little fun. The answer is no.
Ack, have you ever? No.
Have you ever
lacked sin?
I don't know.
He's half Mormon over there.
Have you ever laid a bet?
No.
Oh, God.
I told you.
That was the easiest one. Tiki had the, you know, you could have put money on everything on the house on that
exactly.
one.
I mean, Ack. So, how do you never lay a bet?
You know, I did have like a personal bet with a friend in high school.
Stop. No.
But that was.
No, we don't want to hear about like, those.
I'm just, like
in seventh grade in the schoolyard, I'll bet you, a Superman lunchbox.
It was the Jets Raiders playoff game in
83. Wait, which one? That was when Lance Mel had the pick to end it at the Coliseum.
Yes.
True story to that game. Let me get the update. My parents, every Sunday, half Italian, my grandparents on my maternal side, may they rest in peace. Every Sunday was grandma and papa, meatballs and everything. And my parents were in the car. I'll never forget this. And I'm like, and my dad is a huge sports fan. I'm surprised he actually got in the car. I'm like, I'm not leaving this basement. I can still remember this. The wing chair seat that I was in the basement. I'm not leaving until this game is punctuated. Lance Mel, number 56. Mm-hmm. Boom. Picked it off. He actually had two that game, Lance Mel.
Yep.
And I think that's the game, if I'm not mistaken. Tiki, you'll like this side story. The old Coliseum, they had, I'm pretty sure this is the game. Help me out with this, Zach. Marty Lyons or Klecko, one of the two, thought there was a wall, but the wall was painted and it was glass. And one of them punched it, and they got like 15 stitches at halftime.
Could be.
I think it was Marty Lyons. I'm gonna go with Marty. That was a great game. So that's the last bet you had, huh?
Yep, that was it.
Did you win the bet?
Yeah, I was like a dollar, but I was like, I don't like this.
Oh, God. You don't like it?
Just never,
Then you had two.
It changed. It changed.
Then you had two. Then you had two. I mean, that's two sodas. Then it's probably like six.
No, that's two slices of the pizza with a soda back then.
Back then,
it's true. It's a good point.
Tiki, D-Cell is gesturing what, D-Cell? You've never placed a bet either?
I've never laid a bet.
God, a bunch of nerds we work with. All right, let's get the update here. Ack is, thankfully, Ack can do updates. He's good at that. Here's the Ack fans update. Nah, you're good at that. Inbounds, out of bounds, after Ack.
All right, tough road to Super Bowl 53 on CBS continues with a great doubleheader. Kansas City collides with Pittsburgh. That's a rematch of the AFC Championship game when the Pats tackle battle. I kind of got hung up on words there. It was kind of in between, Teague, you know what I mean? The day kicks off at noon Eastern, Pats and the Jaguars. NFL Today presented by Jeep. So, got that happening. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, at Tiki and Tierney, 855-212-4227. Number, hit us up. 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific, Rodgers, Big Ben, Jalen Ramsey. That's going to be that's not even a sidebar. I mean, even though it is literally a sidebar to the Jags and the Pats, it's not a sidebar. Yeah. That's a main event right there, T.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. That's a fun one. Obviously, the rematch of the AFC Championship game and two teams that are I think we know who they are, but seeing them play a few months after they got to one of the great games of last season is going to be awesome.
Also make our six-pack of picks. We do it every Friday. We tackle the spread. 3 college, 3 pros, get you some winners, set you straight for the weekend. So it is a daily staple. You ready for a little in and a little in and out here, Teak?
I am, BT.
Let's go. Inbounds, out of bounds. Here it is. All right, Teaky, here we go. Linebacker. This is an interesting story. Michael Kendricks. Remember him from Hard Knocks?
Yeah, man.
You do. I know you do. I was asking you rhetorically. He's released by the Browns last week following the charges of insider trading, to which Kendricks pleaded guilty. Not guilty. Pleaded guilty. However, yesterday, Kendrick signed a 1-year deal with Seattle, may play on Sunday against the Saints. The NFL released a statement with the NFL saying that Saints are playing the Browns, aren't they? Yeah, it says Saints are playing the Browns, right, Teak? It says Seattle.
Yeah.
Pretty sure they're playing the Browns.
Yeah.
Against the Saints and the Browns coming up. But Seattle, obviously, different. the NFL released a statement saying, quote, Kendrick's legal situation's under review, and Kendricks is allowed to sign and participate in activities, including games. Okay, interesting. In or out? The NFL is showing Kendricks and allowing him to play despite pleading guilty to a federal crime is what?
I think this is inbounds, BT. Look, we know all the rules that apply for domestic violence situations, the substances of abuse or performance-enhancing drugs. This is one that's not really defined unless it falls into the player a conduct detrimental to a team. So it's more of a team issue than I think a league issue. But after this now they have to address it. They might change it, you know, to be something that causes suspension. They may suspend him anyways, but in the interim, let him play.
Yeah. You know, I'd like to have a hot take and really I agree. It's very much at a fact-finding stage here.
And yeah.
It is a little disconcerting when somebody pleads guilty and they're still, come on, we'll
but
sign,
you know what?
Yeah.
He's going to have to pay the money back. And, you know, because he pled guilty, he's likely to, not get a harsh sentence from the judge.
Sure.
And then, but he's going to get something.
Yeah.
And, you know, the NFL, it's weird. Like, I don't even know how to really respond to it. So I'm kind of okay with it.
That's kind of how I'm going here. And listen, it's a white collar crime, so
yes,
that's a big part of it. If it's a different kind of
crime, exactly right.
You know, hey, then you just can't come on the field here. You know, not to marginalize, you know, stealing money in essence, mm-hmm. because some people's lives are, you know, irreparably ruined. I get that, but it's a weird in. I don't say it with great conviction, but to say out of bounds, I just wouldn't feel that either. So I'm with you. I'm going to say in bounds too. Little Johnny Manziel time here, so Manziel's
Johnny football.
Hit the tap, the brakes on this comeback.
Exactly,
snaggage. After failing to earn the starting nod in Hamilton here, he's been dealt to Montreal, as you know. We watched his first game, didn't go well. Threw four picks in his first game with the Alouettes. Manziel suffered a concussion in his second start. Hasn't really played since. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, Manziel expressed a little frustration. Here he is. Okay, there you go. So, off of Manziel's reaction, in or out here, Teak, his failure in the CFL, at least so far, means he will not ever play in the NFL again.
Yeah, I think this is inbounds. I never thought that he was going to get another opportunity. He's too much of a damaged goods, in a sense, and he would have had to gone up there and just lit it up, almost got it organically, and it seems like he's not going to really get a chance to play up there in Canada until he goes to a full training camp, learns an offense, becomes a true contributor and not someone who they're just hoping can provide better results than the previous guy. So I'm saying inbound.
I'm going to say out of bounds. I'm going to disagree with you on this here. I've been, I wouldn't say, you know, a Manziel supporter necessarily as much, which I've been more of a supporter than a detractor, to be fair, but it's been more about understanding, you know, just although I think that's changing in the NFL generally, a general dearth of quality quarterbacks.
No, you're right.
You know, he's got a good arm, he's got quick feet, and obviously he's got to put it all together, which he has not. I get that. Here's a couple of reasons why I don't think it's a death sentence or, you know, death nail to his NFL career. Number one, he sounded very measured there, very calm, very in control, okay?
Very mature.
Very mature.
Different than we've heard him in a long time.
Yeah, like he's very rational there, which is good.
Right.
So the other thing, when you get dealt midseason, granted, to a pretty bad team, mm-hmm. now you got to learn a new playbook in a different country.
Yep. Different language, BT. Remember? The coach said it's in French, and he's like, got to learn the calls in French,
That's
right.
Right. That's right. I almost forgot. I did forget that until you reminded me. That's true. So he had to shake away a lot of rust, and maybe he'll never be the player. I mean, most likely never be the player many of us thought or hoped he would become. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to leave the door slightly ajar, certainly more than my partner. I'm going to say out of bounds that this is not necessarily a death sentence. While it's not exactly encouraging, I'll leave a little opening for Johnny. Little baseball. Mike Trout had one of the best starts to his career, any player in baseball history. Look it up. And the Angels want to make sure he stays with the Angels for a long time. Don't blame him. Good business. Already signed through 2020. He signed the 6-year, $144 million deal in 2014. And now John Heyman, we know John, very good at his job, reports the team's going to try to sign him to a lifetime deal this offseason. Angels have made the postseason just once in Trout's 7 seasons. Factor that in. In and out, or in or out, Trout should sign a lifetime deal with the Angels.
Out of bounds, BT. He can't sign a lifetime deal because you never know when this Angels organization just goes the wrong way. And he spends the entirety of his career never getting a deep playoff run and building on a legacy, a regular season legacy, an MVP every year type season legacy, to really become meaningful in baseball history. So I got to say out of bounds. I'd love to see him stay there and then build around him and do great things, but you can't guarantee that's going to happen. Out of bounds.
Okay, I'm going to say out of bounds as well. Now, listen, there's something to be said for making all that kind of money in one of the most beautiful parts of the country. I get it. I mean, I lived while I was in Northern California. Living in California with a few bucks in your pocket, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
And he's got money just falling out of every pocket. So That's one thing. There's appeal. The one sport that I think is probably most forgiving in terms of, like, not winning a championship, unless you get to the World Series and fail, like, you know, like Barry Bonds, it took forever for him to, you know, always hit, like, 110 in the playoffs, and A-Rod always stumbled.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball is a little forgiving because it is such a team sport with so many moves. So is football, of course, but the quarterbacks get, you know, crucified if they don't win. He's 27. He's got almost 240 home runs. I tell you where I would go. I'd say not only should he not stay with the Angels, I'll tell you where he should go. He should go to Philly. That's where he should go. Because
interesting.
I actually think he would.
Well, he's from right there, right?
That's part of the reasoning. Oh, but wow, also, the ballpark. Number one, they're an ascending team, clearly ascending. Now, the Braves will be good for a while as well. But I think the Nats will dismantle. The Mets are a complete mess, even though their staff is very good. I think that if he were to ever go to Philly in that bandbox, number one, he'd win. He'd get on the big stage, and he might actually threaten, and put quotes around it, but I'm going to put Aaron. Aaron's still the all-time home run leader in my book, sorry, as great as Bonds was. He might actually threaten that mark for, you know, with Aaron and Babe Ruth and of course, Bonds, too. So I would say out of bounds. I don't know what he'll do, but if I were him, that's what I would do. All right, quickly on this. So 10th inning against the Nats, the Cubs closer, Pedro Schrapp was hitting for himself. Bases juice. Cubbies were up 4-3 here, and you probably saw the footage. I don't know if we can run this, but Strop hit a grounder to third, coming down the box. What else is new? A guy who doesn't run the base. There it is. Good job, as always, guys. Here's the pitch. Little tapper. Not a bad swing. Got hurt. Over to home. That's easy. Step on the plate. Boom. First base. He's out barely. And, of course, he pulled his hamstring. We'll see in a month. That's what happens when guys who try to run that don't run ordinarily. Now, reports say he could miss an extended amount of time. I say a month, and I think that looked bad. Yep. In or out, relievers should never hit in a Major League Baseball game.
This is out of bounds, BT, because what if he's a good hitter? You know what I mean? He just never gets a shot. The only reason we're doing this is because he ended up getting hurt. He was trying to leg one out, and he didn't need to. He probably should have realized it was more important with the lead.
I appreciate the hustle. It's a 1-1 game.
Of course, but they had the lead. So
no,
I appreciate
that. Attack on run.
It's more important for you to be out on the mound than it is for you to be on base, type of thing. Yeah, but if they were down one, if they were down one, they wouldn't have needed him.
Here's the problem. So you say
out of bounds. If they're in a situation,
okay,
you just got to explain it to them. What's the most important thing?
Yeah, but they're still athletes. I'm going to say inbounds. I'm going to disagree. The problem is their athletic instincts. And listen, I saw his swing, and I know you're in Tampa. I don't know if you have a monitor.
Yeah.
It's not a terrible swing.
No,
so something tells me that this young man played shortstop growing up a little bit, played center field. He hit. I mean, he had a decent little swing there for a pitcher. So my answer is inbounds because whether it was Chin-Ming Wong as a pitcher back in the day with the Yankees at Astro, with the Lynn Frank design. I mean, guy, when you do something you don't ordinarily do, you test the physical boundaries and you get hurt. The answer is no pitcher should hit, including starting pitchers, even the good ones like Mad Bum. I'm sorry.
DH.
Yeah.
Universal.
DH. You know, Teague, let's kick this around for a sec. We don't have a whole lot of time to do the whole thing, but the fifth question on inbounds, out of bounds is a good one, too. So on the Low podcast, J.J. Redick went on, and he was talking about Markelle Fultz.
Cave Spring High School's finest.
That's your boy, Ewan Redick, no doubt. And Redick was, remember during the season, he was visibly ticked off, like angry, dropped a couple of expletives, and he expounded on this on the podcast. Basically, he said that, you know, Fultz is a young kid. He was going through a very public, you know, traumatic thing for an athlete where he lost his shot. And he basically gave background as to why he reacted the way he did. And the question was, you know, whether or not the media was unfair in their coverage and speculation. And my response to that is, I don't think that the media was ever unfair.
No.
Raw, yes. But to me, it's unfair when you create an untrue narrative, and they were just reacting to what they saw.
I agree.
Lost the shot.
Well, a part of it, BT,
one pitch.
I know. Part of the reason he was upset, though, was because Fultz is so young. So it's like they're attacking this 19-year-old kid, but you came out of college, right? When you do that, when you opt to go play a man's game with men, media has to treat you like a man.
I agree.
Is what it is.
Yeah, that's true. Number one pick. I mean, come on. It's not like he's a freshman at North Carolina or Villanova. Yeah. He's a pro. All right. Back to the NFL. Aaron Rodgers, Big Ben. How healthy are they? Next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.